Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Scott Harris. Scott is a parachutist, an Army veteran, a businessman, and a motivational speaker. He's also the author of the book Leap Forward, which we'll talk about a little bit later in this episode. But first, I want to welcome you to the show, Scott.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you give us a little more details about yourself, your background, what led you to join the Army and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's kind of a different story. I was kind of a misanthrope in as a kid. I didn't fit in really well, and I didn't do particularly well in public school. I dropped out of high school at the age of 17 and joined the Army in 1975. And this was not a popular decision in 1975. At the tail end of the Vietnam War, basically my parents, who had to sign off on this insanity, and most of my friends didn't really know what the heck I was doing. I didn't really know what I was doing, but it turned out to be one of the best decisions I ever made my whole life. It changed my whole life and set me on a great path. But that's how I got in the Army. And while I was in there, I learned a lot of independence. I learned, a lot about myself and what I could do and, you know, and things like that. And I started skydiving in the Army, not as a paratrooper, but as a sport parachutist. I was stationed at in Camp Humphreys in South Korea. And there was a sport parachute club on the base. And back then there were a lot of sport parachute clubs on different military bases, and they were supported by the military in that they would supply aircraft for us. So basically I got to learn to skydive and make a whole bunch of jumps while I was in the military at almost no cost to me. I had to pay a minimal fee to belong to the club. And
that sounds like a pretty great way to get into it. If you're looking,
it was great for me, and it was great for a lot of us. I almost re-enlisted just to keep up with that, just to keep skydiving and maybe ultimately try out for the Golden Knights, the Army's demonstration team. But I thought better of it. I had a great time in the military. I learned a lot of things about myself. It changed my life all for the better. I learned lessons that I still employ in my life today, some 57 years later. But I had enough. The 2 years that I signed up for was enough for me, and I decided to get on with my life after that. So I didn't stay in just to skydive, but I certainly kept skydiving. Now, I mentioned skydiving's a prominent subject with me, and it's very prominent in my book, Leap Forward, but it isn't, I don't feel like it's something that most people necessarily need to do in order to benefit from what I have to say about facing challenge and that sort of thing. But it's just where I learned to face, extreme challenges. And I learned a lot about myself and how to control myself in intense situations. And that's a lot of what my book is about how to face challenge, how those lessons can apply to any challenge you face, even if it's being afraid to speak in front of other people or a cook, talk to a girl or anything like that. It's all the same principle. You really have to just kind of buck up and do it and try to control your yourself, try to keep from holding yourself back from performing at your best. But that's where it kind of started for me. After I got out of the Army, I went to college. I hadn't planned on it because I didn't think I was cut out for it. And I hated school so much as a kid. But the truth is college was great fun. I had a blast in school. It was completely different than public school because they didn't treat me like a kid. I was there to do a job. I was there to, and I had a purpose in being there, and it actually became great fun. I could have stayed in school for the rest of my life, except I couldn't see how I could make a living doing that.
Awfully expensive.
Well, I guess that's what I think a lot of academics, they just like the academic life and they stay in it and they become professors. And it's the same thing. It's the perennial student that becomes the professor. Right. And there's a lot, I can see how that's a good thing, but it wasn't my path. I ended up getting a degree in engineering and pursuing that professionally. But once again, I changed what I was doing many times. I went down a lot of different forks in the road. I put myself through college teaching skydiving and, running my own business while I was going to school, which was, it was a lot. It was a lot to take on. And then I got out of school and I was an engineering officer in the Merchant Marine. And when times were bad, I would go back to teaching skydiving and doing, and working as a pilot. While I was in college, I also got my commercial pilot's license. I basically was a dual major. If you sense that there's a theme of overachievement, you'd be right. Or at least by some standard, I like to overachieve. I don't really say I want to do more than anyone else. I just want to do what I want to do. I learned to love facing new challenge. And that's really what I learned from skydiving, it's what I need. I need to have challenge to face all the time in life. I need to, I need something new. I need to be facing something that I know is hard for me to do, but therein lies all my happiness, is by overcoming things that are in front of me. And it's not reaching a final goal is of almost no value. That's not what life is about, as far as I'm concerned. It's not a race with a finish line. It's a journey, and you have to enjoy the whole journey. People who go to work doing things they'd hate, I don't understand those people. I've never been capable of doing that. I couldn't do a job I hated for any period of time. Right. Now, sometimes that means you find joy in the accomplishment of doing something difficult. I mean, I did, horrible labor jobs. I cleaned toilets. I dug ditches and things like that. But I found joy in the accomplishment of a job well done, or just working hard and sweating. And you have to be able to find that, satisfaction in some things like that, because, most jobs employ a certain amount of redundancy. That's why you get paid to do it. But you have to find joy in it, or you can't do it. You can't do anything well if you're not looking forward to it. If you're not, if you don't feel like you're getting something out of it, you can't just work for a paycheck. It's just not enough. It's not enough for anyone. If all you're working for is a paycheck, you're just going to be miserable, because it's not enough.
Right, for sure. And I know in my own life, my own professional life and everything, some of the greatest joys that I've had came through things that I had to struggle through to accomplish. Some things that were definitely more on the difficult side. I know when, so outside of doing a podcast professionally, I do like website development and things along those lines. When I first started doing that, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I started really because my father was starting a business, and I asked him if I could help him with anything. And he asked me to build a website. I told him I didn't know how to do that. I never did it before. And he said, go buy a book and figure it out. And so I did. And when I finished that first website, I was like, I am hooked, because I started off with a blank screen. There was nothing there. And this was back in the days before websites just built themselves almost. This was back when you actually had to do the code to make the website look the way you want it to look. After doing that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing that I was able to go from a blank screen to now having something that functions and it works and it looks halfway decent. And I just really enjoyed that accomplishment. Not just the fact that I was able to get that done, but the learning process that went into it and all the struggle, the trial and error and everything that I went through was just an amazing process. So I definitely know what you're talking about with that. It seems like it's very, very similar in regards to how you almost have to step out of your comfort zone and kind of take a risk at something that you're trying to do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no risk, no pain, no gain, no risk, no accomplishment. I mean, you really, you don't, if you're just plodding along, you're just treading water. And yeah. It's funny because that's what people are most afraid of, is that they're not good enough, that they're going to fail. And failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of success. If you're never going to be a success at anything until you fail multiple times. There's, the road to success is paved with, with failure. It really is. It's not paved with, nothing but success. If you look at anybody, Bill Gates, any of those people, they struggled, fell on their butt many times before they accomplished the success that they enjoyed. And the same is true of anyone.
Yeah. And you look at people who are seemingly overnight successes where they their name just pops up in the news or whatever. And that now all of a sudden they're this big icon in whatever the industry is. And you think to yourself, my gosh, how could I be like that? How could I get this success overnight and end up like this kind of person? But what they don't see are all the late nights that these people put into their work and all the failures that they've had leading up to where they are now. They don't see all of that stuff. And so like those people, it must make them cringe when someone says you're like an overnight success. It's like, you have no idea how many overnights I've taken to get to this point where I'm this kind of success,
Right. It almost, it belittles their success to say it just happened. Like you didn't really have any, you didn't do anything. It just happened to you, not by you. And it's actually quite insulting.
Sure. For sure.
To assume that somebody just fell into it. Because that really quite rarely happens. I mean, people win the lottery, but not very often.
But, can you really classify that as a success? Yes, you succeeded in winning the lottery.
Well, no, I guess I mean people win the lottery just as a kind of a statement of, it happens. People just suddenly, achieve some great financial success or something else or notoriety. But it's pretty rare. Mostly it's at the tail end of a lot of, a lot of hard work.
Right. So let me ask, because I want to get into kind of a little bit about your book and some of the lessons that you have in there. So in your book, you talk about that importance of stepping outside of your comfort zone and
absolutely those risks.
How did you in your own life face some of those challenges that you came up with and overcome some of the obstacles that were in your way?
Well, I'm going to go back a little and start with, when I started skydiving and but it's a common theme. I mean, I did this my whole life. I'm still skydiving. But my father, on the other hand, is an intellectual spiritualist. And it's interesting that he and I basically reached the same philosophy towards life through such radically different pathways. He has practiced transcendental meditation his whole life. And what meditation is trying to teach you is to focus your mind on, so under your own control, so that you can focus it on any particular challenge or any problem that you might have. And in my own, pathway, I learned through skydiving to do the same thing. Because basically, when your foot leaves the door of an airplane, you're not thinking about your bills or the argument you had with your wife or girlfriend or how your job's going. You are 100% in the moment. You have to be. It forces you to be there. And by repeatedly doing this, I learned to focus all of my resources on any particular problem. And this theme has followed me throughout my lifetime. Now, I kind of took it to extremes because I basically seek out new problems and new challenges to a rather strange level, or at least atypical. But beside that, that lesson has never left me, and I've refined it over time, but it's the same thing. If you can learn to focus all of your resources on any particular problem, you can accomplish great things. Anyone can accomplish so much more than they really believe they're themselves capable of if they can really focus all of their ability, all of their mental resources on that particular problem and not be distracted by anything else, particularly not to be distracted by your own fear or your own anxiety or your own feelings of incompetence or the fact that you know most people fail at stuff because they really don't believe that they are qualified or they're good enough. And everybody really is. Everyone can accomplish so much more if you can really put all of that crap out of your mind and focus all of your intent on the problem that's right in front of you. It becomes a much smaller problem.
Yeah.
And your success is that much sweeter.
It is. And you grow as a person too. Once you're able to achieve that one thing, that one goal that you're laser focused on, and you get that one thing done, now you have another tool in your tool belt if it's learning a new skill or something like that. And now that's going to just help you along your journey with the next thing that you try to tackle, right?
It's practice. It's like any muscle. If you can learn to focus all of your consciousness on one specific thing, even for a short period of time, then you can, you practice it, you get better at it, just like anything else, playing the piano, anything you ever do. If you do it more, you'll get better at it. And if you get really good at focusing all of your intent on a little problem, you'll get better at it. And you'll reach the point where you can focus it all on bigger problems and overcome bigger problems with ease. Yes. and joyfully. You will reach a point like I have where it's fun to face on, to take on new problems. It's really the stuff of which life is really made, is to take on new things and overcome them.
Right. It's really part of human nature is to solve problems. I mean, we've been doing it since we were living in caves, this cave is cold and it's not a good place to live. So let's build something else. Let's figure that out. Right. All throughout human history, we've been solving problems, big and small. But even just look at anybody's life from the time that they're born all the way through, when they've grown up and they've, they're much older in life. When you're young, maybe it's hard to ride a bike, right? And when you learn to ride a bike, all of your energy, just like you were saying, all of your focus and attention is on figuring out how to ride that bike. You're not worried about the bully on the playground or the what's for dinner or any of it. You're not worried about anything else. You're worried on that one thing. But then once when you get it, it's easy and you can do it for the rest of your life. That's why there's that saying of, it's just like riding a bike. You can pick it right back up and do it anytime. Right. But then you add on to those skills and you build on to it throughout your life. And that's a relatively small thing, something like riding a bike. But like you were saying, you can then start to tackle bigger things, and you get more confidence in yourself, and you can do those big things down the line as you get older and more confident in your own abilities, right?
Absolutely. I have a couple chapters in my book about facing leadership challenges. It's interesting, and it's weird to most any of us who've ever been in the military, but the truth is that leadership isn't something that's taught. It's not taught in school. There's no real leadership classes. I mean, if you took a business class, there might be a 6-week course in leadership, but that's not, this is one of those things you can't really learn from a book.
Right.
You know, you can get an idea from a book, but you have to practice things. You have to actually do stuff. But a lot of times in the business world or in any kind of, you know, operation, people, you know, you have people who are contributors who contribute something. They are mechanics or whatever they do. And the better you get at it, the more responsibility that gets passed on to you until you reach a point where they say, well, you're ready. We're going to put you in charge of all these other contributors. Well, there wasn't anything about, you know, working on a car that taught you how to manage 6 other guys working on cars or any other situation like that. And this happens to people through all over in every walk of life. Somebody who's energetic and hardworking, they get moved ahead until they get put in charge of a bunch of other people who are doing the job that they were doing with no training. Yeah. They don't send them to a 6-month training program to how to be a manager. They just say, okay, you're in charge now. And instead of doing the job that they were really good at, now they're doing something they have zero experience with and have no idea what to do. And there have been studies, and they always come up with the same answers, that 60% of every new manager fails within the first year. They didn't get that job because they weren't hard workers. They got the job because they were great at what they did. And then they got stuck into something and they didn't get any support or training, and they didn't have any knowledge about how to handle it, how to support other people. Because everybody thinks of somebody who's a boss or a manager as being the one in charge with all the answers. But the truth is the boss or the manager is a support person. He's there to support the people who are doing the work.
Right.
And it's a completely different skill set. And it's not that I don't believe that those people who've been pushed into management aren't capable of doing that job, but they need help. They at least need somebody to tell them that the fact that they don't know what they're doing is okay, because they don't. Because there wasn't anything to prepare them for this new role. And it's really kind of sad, because there's such, it's so important if you're good at something to be able to duplicate your own efforts through others. The world is desperate for people who can take charge and manage other, other skilled workers in all walks of life. And we haven't figured this out. The American educational system hasn't figured out how to do this, and business has been very slow to figure out how to assist people in changing their entire role in the work environment.
It really is a transition, right? From
it's huge. It's completely different.
From that mindset of the worker who is building whatever it is, if they're like a mechanic, or if they're like plumbers and electricians and all that kind of stuff, and they could be the best plumber in the world, but then you put them up into that management position where they're now managing a series of other plumbers who are going out and doing the job that they used to be really good at. But now that's not their job anymore. Now their job is they're managing people. And that's totally different from
it's totally from plumbing. Different.
It has
nothing to do with plumbing. And it's,
yeah, exactly.
And if it's, IT people, Yeah. All, I mean, it doesn't really matter. No matter what you do, eventually, you know, there's, I mean, there's people who work independently like you and me, but most people work in groups.
Yeah.
And they, you know, there's always, a, you know, somebody needs to be in charge of that group just for organizational sake. And it's largely, you know, promoted from within. Somebody from that group is doing a really good job and they put them in charge.
Yeah.
And they're not prepared for it. And it's really too bad.
But one of the things that I think, and I'd like to kind of move this conversation this direction, sure, is that the military does do a good job at teaching people how to lead people. I mean, that's really the name of
they do the
name of
the game, the world.
Right? And, exactly.
And it's like the only place.
Right.
And honestly, I know people in business who their first choice for any job opening is a veteran.
Yeah.
You know, I've brought other, I also have a commercial inspection company. And if I hire another, you know, property inspector, I'm only going to hire a veteran.
Yeah.
I know they're going to show up and they're going to work, you know, they're going to do what you tell them to do and they're able to follow direction and eventually they'll be able to work independently. Exactly. I know all of that without ever meeting them. I know those three things.
Right.
And every veteran out there has those qualities. I mean, unless they got kicked out for, you know, some horrible thing, but you know, 90% of the people that, you know, get an honorable discharge from any branch of the military, they know how to show up. They know how to do whatever they need to do and they can follow direction and they can, you know, work independently. They can think independently. They can make up their own decisions about what they have to do to accomplish whatever goal is set before them. And these are the most important things to know in life. I mean, without being, you know, a veteran, where do you learn these things? I mean, you used to, you know, learn them at the, you know, from your parents, but it doesn't seem that that's the parenting style that's going on anymore.
Right.
And
exactly.
I unfortunately meet a lot of young people that really struggle with those issues. I fortunately do meet quite a few young people who do know how to do these things and have learned it, but they're the minority. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I know lots of businesses that are rethinking their whole organization just so they can not have to have employees, to eliminate the need for employees because it's so difficult to get people who know those base things, who have those core values and abilities that, you know, are pretty commonplace amongst veterans. It's like, you know you're getting that.
Right.
You know, they like have 10 years experience doing electrical work, but they'll show up. They'll do what they have to do. And they can, you know, once given instruction, they can work independently.
Yes, exactly. And the nice thing about it is, so like we've established that, you know, veterans have these qualities to be good leaders and take on these bigger roles. Right. But one of the things that you were talking about earlier, and I want to bring that up too, is how when we step outside of our comfort zone, we do these challenging things, these bigger things, it helps us to find some happiness in our lives, right?
It's the greatest joy in the world is to face any challenge without fear, without, you know, second guessing yourself and push through it. To whatever outcome. The outcome is not as important as knowing that you can face things and not hold yourself back. That's the greatest joy there is in the world. It really is.
And the reason why I bring that up, and for people who listen to this podcast, they know a lot about what this podcast is about, hopefully. But for anyone who's a new listener or whatever, you know, this podcast is all about helping out veterans, trying to figure out any of the things that they're going through. We talk about all sorts of things, PTSD and, the employment related issues, transitioning out of the military and all that kind of stuff. And it just seems like so many veterans are, they're struggling and they're having a hard time with things. But they don't realize how many tools and resources are available to them just through their service, the stuff that they've already learned, you know, how to lead troops and how to manage the resources and logistics and other things like that, that they've already learned a lot of this stuff. And they can apply a lot of that to other leadership positions in the civilian world. And anywhere. Like you said, yeah, or anywhere. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that can help them to create the happiness, right? They don't have to be depressed and you know, feeling like they have no purpose or meaning in life when they're capable of going out and achieving all these great things. To me, it just seems like, you know, we should have more veterans getting involved in this and leading people the way they were trained to lead and really help not only help themselves to find a purpose and a meaning in life and create that happiness, but quite frankly, I think it could actually help shift the way the country is heading and really create these great opportunities for businesses and people who are working for them to create a much better lives for themselves, their communities, and everything like that. So that's why I wanted to dig into this a little bit and find out more about you know, what are some of the steps that people can take to really get outside of their comfort zone and face that fear that they might have, a fear of failure, fear of that unknown or whatever that they may have. What are some of the things that they can do to overcome some of that?
Well, it's interesting. I have I'm a chief pilot at a parachute center. And I spent a lot of time around, and most of the people that work there and are real active skydivers are a little younger than I am. And I've befriended a few of the younger veterans who faced a lot of the things in Afghanistan and other parts of the world like that in the last 20 years. And they do struggle. And I've been kind of blessed to be able to help some of these guys. So I've given some specific thought to, you know, how to face some of the problems that they're facing. And it is tough, and there is no simple solution for PTSD or anything like that. But the whole thing about fitting into society, and it's so difficult for a lot of these guys to feel like, why am, you know, they all feel like, why am I here? Because they're surrounded by a bunch of misanthropes who've never done anything in their lives, and they feel like they're outsiders. And it's true, you're an outlier. You're not the same as the other 80% of the, you know, millennials who, you know, who want to cry because they get a hangnail and don't know how to show up to work on time. But the world is not quite as stupid as it might appear if you look at the, you know, if all you do is listen to the news media and check out Facebook. If you're feeling like you're not fitting in, the first thing you should probably do is not, you know, stay the hell off of Facebook, because if that's your window into society, it's going to be pretty stinted. But the truth is you need to find other people who are like-minded and understand that even people who aren't veterans, people of, you know, of presence, people who are doing things in this world will recognize your value. They will recognize, you know, they will recognize the fact that you are a person of substance. No matter what, you are a person of substance. You will show up. That's the most important thing in life, just showing up. It's commonplace to the veteran to show up when they're supposed to, but it's not common in society. And it is recognized as a very important aspect of life. And, you know, it makes you, just that one thing makes you an incredibly valuable person. It makes you more valuable than the other 800 jerk-offs behind you who don't show up.
Exactly.
And show up every time reliably. And everything else can be fixed. If you don't know how to do a specific job, you can learn. especially if you show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ability to think on your two feet and make, you know, make decisions of, you know, being able to make the right decisions to accomplish whatever goal is in front of you. Everybody learns this in the military. This is common stuff. This is base level, basic training crap. But the rest of the world doesn't understand that. And it does make you feel like an outsider because you know things at your very core that it seems like the rest of the world doesn't know and doesn't appreciate. And some of that is true, but not all of it. It does appreciate it. Even people who don't understand this will appreciate the fact that you show up and you do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
basic. These are universal truths that transcend any bullshit in the media or, you know, woke nonsense or anything that's going on. You know, a man who shows up and does what he says he's going to do is of greater value than anyone else. And throughout history, these are the people who make a difference in the world. And if you can do those two things, you will make a difference. You're a valuable person and you can find your way. And there's lots of other vets out there who want to reach out and help.
Yeah. And it feels like you kind of need to get comfortable with failure, with trying things and not being successful right off the bat, because like you said earlier, failure is a part of success. You kind of have to fail. You going back to that example, you have to fall off a bike before you learn how to ride it. It's not like you're just going to hop on and all of a sudden you got the perfect balance and you're good to go. It's not like you're going to start a management job managing people and all of a sudden just be good to go and just take it from there. You're gonna have some mistakes. You're gonna screw things up every once in a while. But the point is you got to learn from those mistakes and learn what to do, what not to do. Right?
Things go wrong, and if you get any experience you have, even you know failure, at the core of this is you have to accept. I mean, a lot of life is about acceptance. One of the biggest tricks in life is just accepting what's there and accepting other people and not trying to, you can't fix everything. You have to accept it the way it is and do the best you can with what you have. And for a veteran who feels out of place, you have to accept the fact that you're not the same as everybody else. You probably will always feel a little out of place. You know, when you go to a rodeo and they want all the veterans to stand up and you stand up because it's a little embarrassing because, you know, all those people who are saluting you or cheering you, they don't get it.
Right.
The only people who get it are the other guys that are standing up who really just assume not.
Yeah. And quite frankly, some of them probably just don't. Right.
Some of them don't because they just don't want to draw attention to themselves. But I mean, yeah. If you're with your family, they know you're a veteran and you kind of have to. And it's not embarrassing because you're ashamed of being a veteran. It's embarrassing because, you know, these people who are thanking you for your service have not the slightest clue what they're thanking you for. They don't know what you did. They don't know what it took, you know, for you. And they don't understand what it gave you.
Yeah.
And my personal take on it, it's always felt a little strange to me because, you know, as you know, people are almost apologetic when they want to thank me for my service a long time ago. They don't understand. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. It changed my whole life for the better. It made me who I am and I like who I am. And what I would want to say to the other veterans is you have to accept the fact that you're different. It's okay. You're different than a lot of these other people. You're better than most of them in a lot of ways. Doesn't mean you're more important than they are, and it's not some goofy thing like that, but you are. You have skills that they don't have. You have skills that if you learn to use them in the civilian world, you can do better than they can. They can't even begin to compete with you. And if anything, you should feel sorry for them because they haven't been given the gift of how to really connect with other people, how to trust somebody else, how to trust your buddies with your life. They don't know what any of that means. It's all, you know, it's all just kind of an esoteric concept to them. The only thing they know about it is what they see in the movies, and that's not reality.
No, exactly.
And go ahead.
When we have all these veterans who are, people who are unemployed, some of them are homeless, they have the ability in them. They've learned this stuff. And it kills me to see all these people who are struggling. And
it's horrifying. It's horrifying we're not supporting our veterans. It's disgusting. But, you know, and some of these guys need help. You know, some of the guys who are homeless and they have drug problems and things like that, they need help in other ways. But it does start with them. You have to accept that you're different and you're always going to feel like an outlier. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. You just have to accept it and move on. And you have to forgive yourself for feeling bad or to feel negative about yourself. You have to forgive yourself and forget about that. Look at what problems are in front of you and devote your attention to solving those problems towards moving forward. You have to accept that you're different and just give up on changing that, because you can't. You are different, and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And you're all these people are so valuable. People with the values of a veteran are desperately needed by society today. It's almost the only hope. The average person doesn't fill me with hope anymore.
Yeah,
they're not fixing anything.
I hear you with that. And when you have someone who's different, right? You have to look at that as a positive thing, because you don't get to achieve great success. Like you mentioned Bill Gates before, and there's all these other countless other people who have achieved great things in their lives. You don't achieve these great things by just being mediocre, by being average, by being like everybody else. You achieve these things by being different, by being extraordinary in a certain area of your life. And especially in that tenacity and the ability to show up and just focus on that thing that you're driving towards, and accomplishing your goals. If you just give up and quit on things, there's no way you're gonna move forward and succeed. So look at that being different as a positive thing. Like who wants to be average, right? You don't want to be average and just like everybody else, because if you want to be like everyone else, you're gonna get what everyone else has had all along, right? So look at it as a positive. Don't think of this as like a death sentence. Like, oh, I'm different from everyone else. Well, good. You should be different than everyone else, because everyone else sucks. Like they're not as good as what you can be.
I think what a lot of these guys are struggling with is they feel lonely. Once you get out of the service, you're now disconnected from all your teams, your buddies, the people you're close to that you can count on, and they get stuck in the civilian world. They don't fit in. So they feel very isolated. And it's true, they are isolated, and it's hard to learn to connect. And I see that. I see some of these younger guys really struggling with connecting to, other people, other civilians. And in some ways, they're connecting on a superficial level because it's all abbreviated. Because that's how most people actually connect. It's all very superficial. It's like they're all Facebook friends. Well, those aren't real friends. Real friends are the guy, you know, a real friend is the guy you can call to help you, you know, cut up a tree that fell against your house in a storm. That's a real friend. It's not somebody who gives you their damn opinion about everything.
Yeah, exactly. And when you have someone like a veteran who has this ability to be better than other people, than and being not just being satisfied with being average, you know, I think there's no limit to what they can achieve, and well, they can that. Yeah, and they can keep doing that like you're doing in your life and what you've done, what you've talked about. You find that next challenge and you tackle it and you focus on that, right? And when you focus on anything, that any worthy goal that you're doing, you'll eventually figure it out. You'll eventually achieve whatever that goal is. You'll finish that task, that whatever the objective is. You'll get to the end of that, and just like anything else, that makes you better. And then you can, those are building blocks that you can use to advance yourself in your career, in your personal life, your, you know, whatever it is. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on was to get that message out to the veterans, because I feel like there's enough people out there who don't really see it that way. They don't understand just how important that what they have inside of them, you know, and what they can achieve. And I think that little bit of encouragement can definitely help some people to find their way and really just focus on whatever it is that their goal is and achieve bigger and greater things than what they've been achieving all along. Right.
Well, they've all learned to do their best at something.
Yeah. You
know, they've all learned to go the absolute distance in any, I mean, that's, you know, starts in basic training and all your military training, that you're taught to go to the absolute limits of what your performance is. And if you can bring that mentality to any other problem, you can only be successful.
Right. And in the military and basic training and in combat and other things that you might, other training that you might be doing, you have other people there who are pushing you to do better. You know, in basic training, chances are people who have gone through basic training, that's probably one of the hardest things that they've done at their life up until that point. Right. And so they need to have the drill sergeants there who are pushing them to do better, because without that, it's like, well, you know what, this is too hard for me and I quit. Right. And
right. They learn not to. That's exactly what the drill sergeant's trying to teach you, is you don't really need him. The purpose of the drill sergeant is to eliminate his necessity.
Yes.
That's his whole point. And that's what every leader in the military, that's their whole purpose, is to push you to the point where you don't need them anymore, where you can do your very best without anybody looking.
And almost work themselves out of a job, right? Like right. Their whole point of being there is to get people to push themselves harder and go further. And in a way, it's almost like the training wheels. You have that person there and they're there to push you, to get you on the right track. But then you take off those training wheels and now you're pushing yourself and you're able to move yourself forward. And I think that's something that a lot of veterans just, I don't know that they really understand that they have that ability still inside of them with anything that they do, you know?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I think most of the guys that I talk to, they know that they can do more. They know they can do better. I think they feel broken because they feel unappreciated.
Okay.
They feel like they don't fit and they don't think that anybody cares that they can do their best. They don't care about that. And that's actually more sad to me, because the world cares. Everybody really does care if you go out and accomplish things. I had a young fellow who was in the service for 10 years, and he's struggled. He's a skydiving instructor, but he's kind of struggled for about 5 years trying to figure out what to do. And eventually he became an EMT, and he's excelled at this, having, you know, a really tough job in front of him and something to really excel at all the time. And he really, you know, he found his niche. He fits in again.
Yeah.
He was almost ready to take a contract military job or something like that to get back to what he knew. And it's really pleasant to see the growth that he's made and gotten out of all that and found a place for himself in society without having to go backwards.
Yeah. And that again has, push himself out of that comfort zone and made him get into something that was difficult to get into. It was different.
Yeah, a lot of roadblocks, a lot of bureaucratic nonsense.
Yeah,
a lot of classes and training and stuff. But the training, you know, was fun actually for him. At least that's what he said. But yeah. The rest of the bureaucracy and stuff, maybe not so much.
Well, no, but you know, there's going to be some roadblocks that stand in the way of
anything
worth achieving. Right. So, you know, if you let something like that, like, you know, some bureaucracy or, you know, other things like that stand in your way, then, you know, what can I tell you? You're probably not going to achieve a whole lot with that, if you let small things like that stand in your way. So, you know, I think that's a good example of someone who didn't really know what direction they should be taking and took a chance, took a little bit of a risk, and found out that, hey, you know what, I can do this, and I've achieved some great things, and I think that's a great way.
He's out there saving lives.
Right, and tell me that doesn't have a purpose, right? Like, right. You know, when you get out of the military. You feel like you don't have that. You feel like you don't have a purpose sometimes. And, you know, you're out there saving lives on a daily basis. I mean, that couldn't be more meaningful. I don't think so. So I'm glad that you shared that story. And with that, I think, you know, that's probably a good place to kind of wrap this up. But I do want to give you the opportunity to let people know where they can go to get your book and find out more about you. And I know you do some speaking engagements and stuff like that. I want to make sure you get a chance to kind of plug all that stuff at the end here. Find your book, Leap Forward, and everything. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, my book is called Leap Forward, and it is... it's semi-autobiographical. It basically outlines a lot of the different experiences that I've had and the things that I've learned from those experiences that can be applied by anyone in other or even similar type situations. But it's really all about facing or embracing challenge to help you perform at your highest level and find the greatest joy that you can. And my book, Leap Forward, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or I have a personal website, scottkharris.com, which also offers the book. And it's a great place to connect with me if you want, you're interested in a speaking engagement to any group or to either virtually or in person. I also offer Leap Forward as an audiobook. Recorded by me, and that's available on Audible or on Amazon. And I kind of feel that the audiobook is almost a better product. It's kind of interesting because I've enjoyed books read by authors in the past because the author can stress the emotion behind the things that they're trying to tell you more than the printed word can. And a lot of the things that I have to say, I am pretty passionate about. And I think it comes across better in the audiobook form.
Excellent. Yeah. So I will have links to all of this in the show notes, to your website, to your book, social media, and everything like that. I'll have all of that in the show notes. So anyone who wants to check out the book and everything else to check you out for a speaking engagement or anything, find the links there in the show notes on our website, driveonpodcast.com. And we'll have all of that there. So you can check it out. Again, Scott, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story. I think it's inspirational to some of the people who might be listening. Give them some encouragement to push themselves to achieve great things. And really, that's, I think, what we all want for our veterans in the military community. So thank you again for coming on and sharing this story.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.